Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Two Chunks and a Hunk. As I'm sure you could tell by my voice, this is once again me, Doge.
Just kidding, it's me, Jordan. Coming at you live from the future, Back to the Future, Part 2, that is. That's right, here in 2024, January, we're taking a little break for some creative juices to flow, to mingle in the pot and create a beautiful stew, and that stew is for your ears later. But for now, what we have for you is Back to the Future Part 2, recorded a couple of years ago for patrons only, but we decided to release it to you because as time goes on, the gates that keep all of the patron-exclusive content behind them get a little porous, and sometimes Back to the Future 2 slips out, and that's what has happened here. So we're excited to come back soon with brand new content, but for now, please enjoy Back to the Future, Part 2.
The biggest door of all time.
Big door or big hinges is the real question.
That's a speak, friend, and enter door right there.
Well, if you're listening to this, you are our friend, and you may enter. We are so thankful that you have tuned into this bonus episode of Two Chunks and a Hunk, in which we will be reviewing a movie that I don't say the name of yet because we haven't said our names. And my name, of course, is Doge. And the time traveling is just too dangerous. Better that I devote myself to study the other great mystery of the universe, Chunks.
That was pretty good, Doc Brown.
Thanks.
Gonna have to change his quote, isn't he? This one. This one's gonna have to change his quote, isn't he?
No, do it. You do it too, and then we'll see who has the best Doc Brown.
No. I'm Carter, and this is heavy, Doc. I mean, it's like I was just here yesterday.
You were here yesterday, Chunky.
Chunky. In which the role of Marty has been recast.
Ian McKellen.
Very sleepy man.
No, it was totally Gandalf.
Do not mistake me for some conjurer of cheap time travel.
Who's that third boy who hadn't said his name?
Yeah, I had so much time and opportunity to get a word in that it's crazy that I haven't said it yet. I am Jordan, and I don't do quotes on this show. Sometimes I'm jealous. Like. Sometimes I'm jealous, but I like the consistency.
You can if you want to.
I like the consistency. I'm a chunk, though.
Why are we all so chunky today?
That's what I was about to ask. Because if you look at the artwork that accompanies this show, it does say Two Chunks and a Hunk. But there's my calendar, there are three chunks. And that's because you, our dear listeners, are the hunk. Mm-hmm. You have chosen, for some reason, against all conceivably wise financial advice, to support our show.
That's right.
And pay money to be patrons of this fine podcast. And we are so thankful.
So thankful. Thank
so very, very thankful.
Thank you.
Thankful.
To repay that debt that we owe you, we did watch a movie and we bring it to you now and offer it up at your feet and hope that this makes up for the money that we now owe you. The movie of course, that we're talking about in this bonus episode is the second movie in a series that is living right here exclusively on Patreon. That movie is, of course,
Back to the Future Part 2.
There's definitely a significance in making sure you're saying Part 2, right?
Instead For sure.
of Back to the Future 2.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. That's a different movie. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, Doge, I'd love to hear you bump set Spike yourself for a synopsis.
Now, we all have a lot to say about this movie, and we definitely can't wait to get to that. But if there's one thing I do need, it's a synopsis from my good friend Doge. Mm-hmm. Synopsize me, Cabin. Sure thing. This week's synopsis comes from RCS0411 at emailprovider.com.
Oh, anonymity. That was Han Solo's robot, yeah?
Anonymity is not a high priority for RCS.
Droid, my bad.
This movie begins where Back to the Future ended, with Marty, Doc, and Jennifer going into the future to help Marty and Jennifer's children. After doing that, they return to 1985. But when they arrive, they discover that things are not as they remember it. There's a casino, which is owned by, of all people, Biff. Marty learns that his father was killed a few years ago, and his mother is now married to Biff. Marty meets with Doc, who thinks he knows what happened. Somehow, Biff got his hands on a book from the future, which has in it all sports results. And he used it to bet on sports and amass his fortune. Marty said he considered doing that, but Doc nixed it. Somehow the Biff from the future discovered about the time machine and Marty's plan and used the time machine to give his younger self the book. So they have to find out when Biff got the book so they can take it away from him. So Marty goes to see him and confronts him about it, and Biff also tells him that he was the one who killed George. Marty and Doc then go back to, of all places, 1955 on the day of the school dance.
Can't believe it.
So Marty tries to get the book back while trying to avoid being seen by Doc's younger self and himself, who's getting ready to go back to 1985.
Oh, man.
Marty, at times, gets the book, but when Biff calls him a coward, Marty gets incensed, which leads to him losing the book, so he has to try and get it again. Period. That's it. That's the end?
Ugh.
Oh, my goodness, RCS0411 at emailprovider.com.
Sanapi-napi. That's a tough one.
Not inaccurate, though.
No, not inaccurate.
To this movie. May I super dump right off the bat for Back to the Future Part 2.
Dump on him.
I love that we always sing that song right before somebody super dumps.
It's my favorite thing. Patreon is where we try new things of our show.
It's my favorite thing that we do every time in our show. It's like that. Dump on him.
My super dump is the fact that, honestly, it might be a dump on Zemeckis himself on the directing of this movie.
Okay.
It is as if all of the cast, except for Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox, were told, I need you to play your role as if Ace Ventura was playing your role. These performances are the wildest things I have ever seen, particularly Thomas F. Wilson, all the different incarnations of Biff and Griff across the time stream. Not a one of them is even watchable. Like, these are all absolutely bananas performances.
Counterpoint, Biff and Griff rule so hard.
It's also much like Channing Tatum's ears and origin in Jupiter Ascending, the worst and the best part of this movie to me.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because what's unfortunate is, I was trying to, like, so this was 1989, and there definitely was another movie around that time. And granted, this is my first experience with this movie, but it reminded me of when they decided to make a Ninja Turtles movie in 1990.
Yes.
It's just a big mess. And we already have something that happened before that can bring back a certain nostalgia. What was so interesting for me about watching something for the first time 30 years later was I was missing, I felt nostalgic for a movie I had only watched one time, which was Back to the Future. And it was a different breed of gimmicky to me. It was just leaning in. This stuff hardly ever works when you do it too much. When you start having one person play too many roles, Yeah. It becomes Nutty Professor for me. It becomes, I don't know. It just gets to be a lot. But
I definitely did pick up on Nutty Professor vibes when all of Marty's children are played by Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, yes, how about Michael J. Fox playing his own daughter?
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. But yeah, my super pump is the iterations of Biff. It's the most ridiculous thing. He's could not be a worse person. Like, it's one thing to have someone like Jack Nicholson in Departed and be like, wow, how awful. There's no one else on Earth this bad. But to do it this way was just like, what? You killed his dad? You're like taunting him that you're going to kill him with the same gun? It's so ridiculous.
Dude, so two things for you, Carter. Two things. One, my super pump is all the Biffs. I love Biff and Griff and young Biff and old Biff. I love Biff. So there's that. Number two.
Biff is ridiculous.
If you like Biff, you're going to love the third movie.
That's true.
I think I've realized that I like the third movie better than the second movie. I hadn't
critically. It's certified fresh as like 80%. I think for the third one, the second one was like 59%.
Yeah. And two and feels like it like 95%. Exists to be a setup for the third one.
Very much the exact same as the first three Pirates of the Caribbean, where it's like two is essentially a trailer. It's our setup for three to happen.
I love two though, but two was great.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Are you comparing them in terms of how good they are comparably to the other two?
I'm comparing them in terms of, I think Pirates of the Caribbean Dead, like a sequel that doesn't really have an ending.
Oh, right.
Dead Man's
Chest
doesn't have an ending.
Two Towers has an ending, doesn't it?
Yeah. But kind of we don't actually land really very many of our plots.
Yeah.
Like major cliffhanger wise.
Yeah.
It's like Twilight New Moon.
I have no memory of any. I just have like in my brain, there's one big bucket.
It's almost like it was all
Twilight.
A dream. So riddle me this.
Mm.
Were they filming both of these movies, two and three, at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah.
I could not believe the 3-minute reel. I turned it off.
Yeah.
So I stopped watching because it was showing so much of three.
Good. I'm glad you're
here. I was like, why are we doing this? I don't want to
see the text that said coming summer 1990.
Yeah, right.
No,
yeah,
for real.
So this came out in November of 1989. And then part three came out in May of 1990.
Super close. Yeah. So the scene where Elizabeth Shue, who is now playing Jennifer because OG Jennifer stepped away from acting. The scene where Elizabeth Shue gets laid to sleepy by on her front porch. I believe that they filmed a follow-up to that scene that happens in three, like immediately after. Like they just like had Marty go change clothes pretty much. And then
it's where they got filmed. The idea for Lord of the Rings to do them all at once.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've read that.
Have you guys seen the side-by-side comparison of the end of Back to the Future 1 and the beginning of Back to the Future 2? They reshot all
with Elizabeth Shue. Yeah.
Like completely matched everything and just recreated it with Elizabeth Shue.
It's pretty crazy.
Wait, she wasn't in the...
Nope.
Nope.
It's a different Jennifer.
Yeah, the first Jennifer's mom got real sick, so she stepped away from acting for a little bit. She came back in like 2012 or 13, I think.
Oh, wait. I'm getting it. Wow. I'm getting this confused with Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Sorry. As strange as that sounds.
Yeah. Because
we
just saw
she is in the
Kid.
Original. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sorry.
So,
now in stark contrast to Karate Kid, in which Daniel San looks like a high schooler, Marty McFly looks 35 in high school here.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks old. I'm just going to go ahead and super dump, and then the rest of the time for the rest of the podcast, I'm just not going to talk anymore.
Yeah. Finally.
My super dump is that Jennifer is involved in this even remotely. And I know that they painted themselves into a corner with the end of one, and they had to figure out a way to get her out of this story so that they can continue being the awesome adventures of Marty and Doc Brown. But the fact that Jennifer is here at all is so dumb because they just knock her out for 95% of the movie.
Yeah. Zemeckis even says that. He's quoted as saying, like, if I knew I was going to do a Back to the Future 2, I would not have had Jennifer get in that car and go off to the far-flung future of 2015 with Doc Brown at the end of the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's given virtually nothing to do. Elizabeth Shue, all she gets to do is be surprised in this movie.
Yeah, it's so blatantly we don't know what to do with her.
Right.
She's sleeping.
Yep. There was I thought it was pretty clever when she met her older self and they both said, "I'm old," right as they passed out. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was funny. Good catch by Chris there.
I think it's great. I struggle with when watching a movie like this, not dying laughing at the visions of the future that they had in 1989.
This is 2015.
Did you know?
The 80th 2015.
There is a like little short film with Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown that explains why our 2015 doesn't look like the Back to the Future 2015.
No.
Yeah, there's like a little short film of Doc Brown going back and like stopping. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's like essentially he stops the production of like personal nuclear fusion reactors that you can have in your house.
They all go off at once. They all malfunction at once thanks to a software thing, and it causes a worldwide nuclear holocaust.
So he goes and stops them from being created, which is why we end up with our version of 2015, which just had Gangnam Style.
Yes.
Actually, that was 2012.
That's all.
Every single vision of every single era is the most 80s version of that era.
For sure.
The alternate 80s, the Rich Biff 80s, is just Gotham City from The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
Like completely with the slice and dice gangs. You know what I'm talking about? It's just, it's slice wild. And dice.
That's funny.
It is, isn't it? And the Biff Hotel, the huge Biff casino and hotel kills me. I think, so what is it? I read the trivia. Marty says the same thing to his mom.
It's the whole like,
in every, mom, is that you?
Is that you?
And his daughter.
Marty, you've been asleep for hours.
Yeah. And his daughter says the same thing to Elizabeth Shue, to Jennifer,
to young
in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just that kind of fun stuff. And that, to me, that stuff, like the fun stuff, the self-referential like cycle of spiraling that happens is what keeps this movie from being terrible.
Yes.
And still lets it be really fun, even though it is not very good.
Even though it is objectively a bad movie, it's fun to watch because of how, I mean, that's my super fun. How it's like, it's really tightly constructed. The notable error is that Biff is able to return to 2015 Prime from the past that he altered. Although
That's true.
If I understand correctly, there is a Big Bang Theory episode that explains that. So let me just say right here, bazinga, and then we can move on from that.
Bazinga, baby. My favorite show of all time. Definitely worthy of all the awards that it got. It's so good, probably. I've watched but two Sheldon, episodes ever.
Sheldon the Nerd figured that out, so we don't have to talk about it. But it's fun at the end once we start to get, we have two Martys and two Docs looping back through the same events of the first film.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really, really fun and really clever.
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. My favorite piece of trivia about this movie and about the first Back to the Future, I guess, as well, is when Doc Brown is talking to his 1955 self, he has on the like brown trench coat and the hat and the bike and all that stuff. And he tries to walk away without being seen in that same scene in the first one, not intentionally, but somebody dressed just like that is hustling away from Doc Brown in the middle of the street. And so it kind of worked out. I'm sure they chose his costume based on that person.
Sure.
But that I love stuff like that. Just like ways that you can go back and understand that they are cycling through all of this
stuff
at the same time.
All happening in the background of the one we just watched.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Totally.
As our representative sports boy, I can't go by without at least acknowledging that one thing they almost did get right about 2015 was the Cubs winning the World Series.
Yeah.
It would happen a year later than that, but still the fact that they predicted within a year of when it would happen, which was 108 years after the last World Series they had won. Which was pretty fun. And that was a huge deal when the Cubs were in the playoffs in 2016.
The Cubs are the GOAT, references. Right? The curse of the GOAT. That's them.
That's them, yeah.
Okay, that's one of my favorite sports things ever.
Yeah, so strange.
He's just an angry farmer. her singing team this, for it.
Yeah. It's basically an, also somewhat an A24 movie somehow. But
yeah, for real.
Yeah.
The now it's funny that you mentioned Ian McKellen, Carter, earlier this episode, because we do have an appearance from another member of the Fellowship of the Ring in this yeah, very movie.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a little baby, tiny Elijah Wood. It's Elijah Sapling. He's so small and young.
Elijah Sapling is just the cutest.
Yeah, he's adorable.
I just watched his Hot Ones, which, by the way, might be a favorite Hot Ones.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
What was he on for? Was it recent?
He was to promote No Man of God. The Ted Bundy movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he plays the FBI agent.
Yeah, I heard of that.
Looks good. Elijah told me to watch it, and his mouth was spicy when he did, so I think I have to.
Spicy mouth.
Spicy mouth. It's my favorite version of Elijah, Spicy Mouth Elijah.
Yeah, don't they sing All-Star?
Mm-hmm. Spicy Mouth. Man, we got that. We got that. That Patreon bonus episode joke.
For real, for real.
We're so much funnier. We're so much funnier in the bonus space.
So we know about old Crispin absolutely hating this.
Well, he wasn't in it.
He didn't want to be in it. And that's why they made Marty's father be dead.
The guy playing his dad upside down is not even Crispin Glover.
Right. That's why they put him upside down. So it's harder to recognize.
Gosh, it's just so much. Ugh. There's just so many bad decisions in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much cleanup that's just like, you really think you can get away with that? It's like Chelsea and I are going to like say we're going to host people over at the house. And we've been talking about cleaning the house for a long time. And she comes in and she's like, are you serious? Like that's, you just put things under things.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not clean. That's not, like, you're just covering up.
All the dishes are under the couch.
The coffee ring. You're just covering it up. See, when I move this coaster, it's still there. That's not, our definitions of clean are different. So,
do you guys use coasters in your house?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you came over to watch Prince of Thieves, I remember more than once putting the coaster that was next to your drink under your coaster, Jordan.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember that. I don't see a world where I would put a drink not on a coaster if a coaster was put in front of me.
Sorry, dude. That world is right here in my house.
I'm with him. I'm with Carter. Hashtag I'm with him. I believe him. Thanks for coming forward, Carter.
Maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it was somebody else. Maybe it was Nana.
Seems like a thing Nana would do, yeah.
So is this movie, it is bad.
Sure,
this is not a controversial statement.
Right.
Is it the best B movie?
No.
I don't think it's a B movie.
It's not a B movie.
I feel like that's what we're aiming for, though. Like, tonally, I feel like we're going for that kind of vibe. So you don't think like the cheesy, schlocky, like the crappiness is intentional?
Not in a B movie way.
Okay.
No, not in a satirical B movie way.
So how did we go wrong then? Because I feel like this virtually completely lacks the charm of Back to the Future Part 1.
Well, it's because it cannibalizes its own charm.
Hmm.
This movie relies on the charm of Back to the Future Part 1.
Yeah.
To carry it.
What successful time travel themed movie came before Back to the Future? Is there one?
Not one I can think of.
No.
It feels like, because, you know, we talked on our recent Ocean's 11 episode that it was like this thing that now becomes all compared to Ocean's.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we finally found out the perfect formula for introducing the squad and introducing the lift, the heist, the steal. I think with Back to the Future, I mean, time travel is a huge thing in movies. It is a sacred thing.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame would tell you that there's a lot of references to how it's done well. We do it as a joke, but we also bring up things like Back to the Future because we have to mention it when we talk about time travel. It's in the name. There's hardly any of the other ones that are in the name. But I think they got it and they did it really well. It was like a first shot, 1980, what was the first one, 87?
85.
1985, and you pull it off to where it's like believable and charming. And so then they're like, and then they're like, let's do this. And they go into the lab.
Yeah.
And they're just doing the hell out of it. They're just wringing it out. They're doing way, way, way too much. And it's over the top. I think that's what happened.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I think they got in and they're like, okay. Yeah. Okay. So if we can do this, why don't we go into the future? Okay. But then let's go back and we can tie this together and we're going to have them meet each other. And I think they're just high on, enamored by the concept of time travel in movies that they just do it to death. It's just so messy. Yeah.
But it's a blast to watch, though, is the
thing. I had fun. I really
somehow
did.
It circles back from being, it's almost a so bad it's good vibe to me with this.
I think it might be so bad it's good. Even like one of the funnest things is when it is cannibalizing its own nostalgia. Like when we get it's now the hoverboard around the middle of town and we're back in that same diner and Goldie
the Third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, when it's cannibalizing all of its own jokes and nostalgia and using its old friends to feed its new friends and all, that's when it's the most fun.
Yeah.
When we're seeing, like, I think the three cool, like, funnest things about this movie are the vision of 2015. All of it. The whole time we're in 2015 is a blast.
Yeah.
I think it is the new and worse version of 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is our familiar, but now behind the curtain version of 1955. Like the eras themselves are the most interesting thing about this movie and make it so, so fun. I love Jaws. What is it? Jaws 29?
It's Jaws 19. Yeah.
And the hologram that munches on. By the way, I remember as a kid thinking that was so scary. It looks horrible.
It looks unbelievably bad. It looks like Nintendo 63, not even 64 yet.
I remember as a kid thinking it was so scary. I love the jacket and the Nike shoes.
I would actually, those shoes are very cool.
They made them. Nike made them.
Uh-huh. And they donated all the funds, every bit of profit they made from those shoes, they donated to Michael J. Fox's Parkinson's Research Fund that he runs. Yeah. Which, incidentally, self-lacing shoes are a great thing.
Yeah.
For folks with Parkinson's. True. Like, that's really awesome.
That is really cool.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
I've decided that what doesn't make this a B movie for me, and I think one of the things that makes this movie so like actually bad, is what I ended up doing, how I chose to consume the rest of that experience at whatever time that came, 30 minutes in, 40 minutes in, how I chose to consume that is not, I don't think, how the producers of this movie wanted me to consume it.
Right.
There was a point to where what really helped me enjoy it is to not care anymore. Yeah. What helped me to enjoy it was to not try and connect the dots anymore, just to lean in or lean back and just have fun.
Go for the ride.
Whatever. I'm just going to just soak this up.
Sure.
Because the things that make Back to the Future so great and work so well is this kind of like aha moments of like, oh yeah, oh, that's brilliant. What a great idea to go back and do this. So I don't think when they're making the movie, they're like, and then around here is when we can just really lean into how awful Biff has become.
Right. Yeah.
And we'll have him try and kill Marty and all that kind of stuff, just like how he killed George. Yeah, right, George. And you know, it just becomes this this mess that I don't think they thought it was the kind of mess they wanted it to be. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think the family dinner scene is absolutely one of those things that is much better in concept than in execution.
Yes.
Because in execution, it is nigh unwatchable with every single person all talking at the same time, all doing bad versions of their real voice. It's like, it feels like bad improv.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just want to turn this off. Like, Marty's old parents are one of the worst things I've ever seen in a movie. But they circle all the way around to, I actually really want to see more of Marty's old parents because they're so bad.
Right. There is, I'm looking it up right now because I want to make sure I get the phrasing right.
You know what? You know a movie that actually did do it well? A bit of time travel was probably, and it's, I think it's controversial because I think y'all don't like this movie, but, or it is overrated. What's the name? Oh, It's a Wonderful Life. You kind of get what would it look like? Again, there's not versions of yourself in that.
Sure, but like an alternate timeline.
This is if you're dead. Yeah. This is if you actually jumped off the bridge.
It did do a good job. I just think the movie's boring and bad.
Yeah, it felt like it got into, especially when it just becomes a soap opera. When we go back to 85 and Biff has taken over.
Yeah.
When mom is like, it got too serious.
The whole time we're in
his oppression of Mrs. McFly was just weird. It was awful.
The whole time we're in Biff's Trump Tower thing is just like, I was so bored during that part.
Oh, I thought it was funny.
I was completely bored by that.
I thought it was funny. Yeah. I thought it was dumb. I thought it was stupid and funny. I just looked it up. I wanted to make sure I got it right. In the scene in 2015, when Jennifer is in the future McFly home, Marty Jr. watches 6 TV channels at the same time, picture in picture in picture in picture in picture, you know, that kind of thing. On one of those is an ad for Bottoms Up brand super inflatable tit.
Cool.
Which is for a breast augmentation for that last minute adjustment, it says.
Oh.
The super inflatable and then in all caps, tit.
Amazing.
Whoa, okay.
That is so funny. I just love this vision of the future where everything is horrible all the time.
It's like bubblegum cyberpunk, this version of the future.
Yeah, totally.
But between the tit ad and Marty's mom's whole situation in 1985, I think we might be uncovering some sort of secret Zemeckis desires that he might not have been super forthcoming about when writing this movie.
Like a Tarantino feet situation?
Sure, yeah. It's a Freudian manifestation.
Sure. Sure, yeah. That's possible. That's very possible. Because there's actually, I think a lot of, in the future, there's a lot of like breast augmentation plastic surgery references all around.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a box of implants somewhere. So like caution silicone or something like
Jeez,
that.
Jeez, Zemeckis.
This boy nasty.
Zemeckis getting nasty with Back to the Future
this
too.
This boy nasty. Back to the Future part. Ew. You know? Do you know what I mean?
No, I get it. Yeah, I get it for sure.
Here's a question. How did Biff, old Biff, know how to work the time machine?
Shh. No idea.
Shh. Yeah, that's valid.
Be smooth.
Here's no wrinkles. Here's another question. How, and here, this is important, did after, I don't know, let's say the third huge payday that 1955 Biff made with his sports almanac was the like, some sort of commission, not like, hold the phone. Let's
actually,
not let this
you can't
guy gamble
anymore. Biff. You can't anymore, Biff. Yeah. Follow-up question. How is Christopher Lloyd still able to walk upright after putting the entire weight of this movie on his back in 1989? Every time Doc Brown shows up, it's like it's a breath of fresh air in this movie. Like
100%.
We talked before about how forgettable Michael J. Fox is.
Sure.
Perhaps replaceable is a good word. Like we can get any kid in 85 to do what he's doing here.
Yeah. I think you said that. I don't know that I said that. I don't know that I agree with that.
I think Carter said that.
Maybe that's right.
I tend to lean that direction. I think he's iconic now in retrospect, but at the time, I don't think Teen Wolf's doing anything that Ferris Bueller couldn't do.
That's fair.
But like that gap to me becomes even more clear between Christopher Lloyd and the rest of the cast, honestly, in Back to the Future Part 2.
Yeah.
Doc Brown's complete zaniness, his Ace Ventura-ness, feels appropriate.
Yes.
But when everybody's Ace Ventura,
nobody's
yeah. Ace Ventura. Yeah.
Thanks, Sandra.
But he was a huge, particularly, I mean, the standout Doc Brown scene is, of course, the the logical expansion of our potential Doc Brownness when we have 200% of the Doc Brown that we usually do on the screen at the same time. That this movie, there's three or four big scenes where an actor is interacting with themselves.
Yeah,
it's the first time that had ever been done in a movie. They had to develop the process specifically for that, cool. And it looks pretty wonky a lot of the time.
That Doc Brown scene looks really good, unless you look behind the light pole.
Yes, it's really very good though. And the way that they've done this is completely ingenious of exposing like that part of the film and then going back and running the scene, matching the camera movements, doing it exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just with the actor on the other side of the frame. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. It feels like the Back to the Future franchise so far was this kind of testing ground for like trying this out, right? We're trying time travel in a new way. Now that we've done that and it's been successful, let's literally try new tactics, which are going to end up being both things that are used often in movies.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. I think it's like Star Wars in that way, where it's like mm-hmm. equal parts, like a story, a franchise, and like tech demos of like, let's see if this is possible. I don't mm-hmm. know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think whenever I watch a movie like this, especially when it's a sequel to something that rules, I always feel conflicted, specifically in the sense of part of me is like, don't touch a good thing, leave well enough alone. And then the other part of me is like, dang it, Robert, keep on reaching. Keep swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
Because then you end up with three, which I like a lot. And I think it takes the zaniness of two and gives yeah. purpose and reason to it. It's like two learned all the wrong lessons from one and three learned all the right lessons from two, but since they filmed simultaneously, what it tells me...
didn't have time to learn the lessons.
Right. Yeah. What it tells me is that two was always intended to just be a setup for the movie he really wanted to make, yeah. which was Back to the Future.
Doc Brown in the Old West.
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah.
I think a good representation of what this movie does is just in the DeLorean alone, is that, yes, it looks cool when the DeLorean flies now, but nothing will change seeing the scorched tire tracks...
agreed.
Right.
Of this car. Like, it is never going to be cooler than it was in the first one.
Right.
But I get it. I get why we're up in the air now, because it's 2015, right? Cars sure. fly.
Sure. I remember that.
Well, no, you don't, because the consumer level Mr. Fusion. Blew up.
I think this movie is a great, like, just a great example of a sequel to a movie. And that sounds like a joke.
Good, man. Like, yeah, no.
Of all the sequels, Back to the Future 2 is definitely one
I
of them.
I think it's a great example of putting actors on a screen with a camera and there's like a soundtrack.
I didn't want to say this because I knew you guys were going to do this.
I haven't done anything. I always know my boy Wonders is going to go in there and spit. So I'm just in the background.
Drop the beat.
Boy Wonders on the track.
Pretty cool name, honestly.
Yeah, it is actually a really cool name. But like, I think this to me is the perfect example of a modern sequel that tends toward excess more than it tends toward finesse.
Nice.
And I think that it's
Lost
a great
World.
Example. Do what?
It's Lost
yeah.
World.
Yeah.
It is absolutely Lost World. It is like, it's Iron Man 2, honestly.
Yeah.
It's Matrix 2.
Yeah.
Right?
But it might be Temple of Doom, to be honest.
I think it's Temple of Doom as well, where
wow.
it's like, we as studios are beginning to learn, hey, you know what? If people liked the first one, we can just print money by making another one of these
yeah.
things. Especially if like 25% of the first movie is contained within the sequel.
Mm.
Like, to me, this is this is the most surefire bet that a studio could ever make.
Yeah. Yeah.
They liked the first one.
For sure.
Let's just do it again and use a bunch of the same stuff. And it's sort of, I think we're even finding that it's hard to talk about the fact that this isn't that great. The first one was awesome, but we do feel a sort of loyalty to the franchise of like, well, like give it the benefit of the doubt because the first one was so good.
Sure.
Whereas if the first one had been this quality, we wouldn't even be doing this series on Patreon.
No.
We would just think it's those bad time travel movies that came out in the mid-80s, right? But there's a certain, we talked about it on our Black Widow episode too, where sequels and entries in franchises are completely inoculated against criticism because of goodwill audiences have toward previous entries in the story.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's why we're still getting Jurassic Worlds, even after every single one of them after Jurassic Park has been not great.
Yeah. Doesn't it magnify the anomaly, though, that is The Empire Strikes Back?
It absolutely does.
Sure, yeah.
I mean,
it is
because,
the rare sequel that's better than the original.
Three of the five movies we mentioned that do something in excess and not well have a lot to do with Spielberg, who's one of our favorite directors. Yeah. And then it's just funny that Lucas, who feels like this off-the-kilter mad lad, who, of course, ends up doing prequels that are pretty doo-doo, I can't get over the... We talked about Perfect Storms for some things in Ocean's 11, but... Gosh, the number one perfect storm is just the balls of putting together Star
now,
Wars.
Could this be the difference between a planned sequel and an unplanned sequel that we're really talking about here?
It could be one of the
when you,
Empire was not a planned sequel.
Could be a vice.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess what I'm saying is more frequently you are looking at a planned sequel or a planned trilogy, that middle movie being better than making a movie and then deciding that you're going to make a sequel.
Yeah. So how does,
or maybe it's just
so
the difference.
Interesting
it's a story that needs a sequel demands a sequel versus creating more.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting though, because I think Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 2 is better than Spider-Man 1.
I agree.
But Spider-Man 3 is another case study of a sequel that tends toward excess.
Yeah. Right.
Where it's like, we know this is going to print money, so let's try and print as much as we can.
What's funny, too, is it feels like the, to me, the normal rhythm, so whatever happens the majority of the time when we're talking about multiple movies in a franchise, the normal rhythms are the first one was something that blew us away, right? The first one becomes the actual tick on the timeline of what we go back to and reference in history. And then we kind of screw up the middle, no matter how much of those there are. But then there is something about this expectation. Like when I'm watching, I've seen all the Matrix movies, but when I'm watching Matrix Resurrection and watching that movie that's going to be coming out, why do I feel like it's going to be good? Because I guarantee you, I saw trailers for 2 and 3 and we're like, great, here we go, churn it along. It's going to be great things. There's something that happens when it feels like we learn. We learn, but we still love it enough to come back and try one more time, right? Like
open ourselves up to getting hurt again.
Yeah, let's just, try. Let's do it.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a new Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Right? Like if we made a new Back to the Future and part of the promotional thing is we're returning to the roots of Back to the Future 1. Well, I feel like that's Indiana Jones 5, right?
Yes.
That's the cycle that all of these franchises go in is we make a great one that blows people away. We tend toward excess in 2, 3, yeah. 4, whatever. We wait 10 years and then make one that's a return to form, air quotes.
Yeah. I think the new Jurassic Park that's coming out is still going to have excess because I think we're too far into...
Yeah.
This series for that to not exist, and it's dinosaurs, so it's going to be there. But there is something about them saying, come on back, Jeff. Come on back. Just all of our OGs, all of the original people in the first one have never shared the screen again until now, right? It's kind of this, you feel like it would be a farewell, but you never know in Hollywood. But
that's how The Force Awakens was pitched too. Mm-hmm. We had this prequel trilogy that tended toward like being totally wild and out of control. And then now it's a return to form because Harrison Ford's back and grumpier than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. This was great. What a great conversation that comes from. I love when we get to just talk about not just the movie itself, but like the influence of of just that on everything.
I wonder if it is a Spielberg thing.
Because
he did
be?
Have you seen his treatment for E.T. 2?
No.
Oh.
It's terrible.
Yeah,
Bad aliens come and kidnap Elliot, and E.T. has to go rescue him.
Very good.
That just feels like the kid in Spielberg, doesn't it? Of just like this
Just like, I had such a good time playing with my action figures last time. Let's make an even wilder story with
them. Let's do it again, see if it sticks. Hard to fault the guy, though, when his first instincts are usually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, when your first instincts is...
I made a good joke about Saving Private Ryan, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's my bad.
Saving Private Ryan as copy.
Far encounters.
Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind.
Close
Encounters is so good, by the way. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's wonderful. Fantastic.
It's
one of the first sci-fi movies my parents recommended to me. Yeah.
My favorite thing about that movie is Spielberg approached John Williams and was like, hey, I would love you to write the score for... I would love you to compose for this movie. And Williams said, Steven, you need a better composer. I can't do this. You need somebody better. And Spielberg says, I know, but they're all dead.
Oh, that's so good.
Woof.
Dang. That's crazy.
Dang.
Dang. Well, it's time to rate this movie. Wait, do you do this part on Patreon? Apparently, I've never been on live television before.
I love you, apparently, kid. I'm going to have to revisit that.
Dude, hey, have you... Hold on, I got one for you. Don't even trip.
Yeah,
don't
even trip, dog. Send us that TikTok.
It's just
send us that TikTok. I don't think I normally do this, but I can do it while you send it if you want me to.
Yeah, I love mixing it up on a good Patreon.
To rate this movie today, we're going to use science, the same kind of science that Doc Brown used to make a bad car fly and travel in time.
Marty!
I was doing that so much after watching the movie, practicing, was just
dude,
saying
your
Marty.
Doc Brown is so good.
Yeah, It's really good. The best thing we could ever say about this movie, Back to the Future Part 2, is own it, don't lend it.
Buy that poster!
The next best thing we could ever say is buy it. After that comes rent it and then stream it. Mm-hmm. After that is forget it. And last and certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
Did I get them all right?
You did.
Yeah.
What's tough for me is I think I'm realizing if I have seen an entire franchise, I find that my scientific cinema scale has some influence on the other movie. So without seeing three, I'm not going to say forget it. I'm not going to say forget it because I feel like there's going to be something because of them being filmed almost at the same time or at the same time. I don't know. It's a stream. It's definitely not a good movie to me. And while it has its moments of feeling like what Doge would describe as like a good B movie, I can't argue that it does. It is not enough of whatever is quantifiable for me to have it be that considered to be a full experience of that.
Sure.
I think we get only tastes of it. And it's more of a thing that I made the decision myself and said, you know what? I'm just going to view it this way. I don't think that's what they intended for me to do. But
you sort of have to cover up the gaps yourself.
So, but it's a stream. It's a stream for me. Yeah.
I think I'm going to stream it as well. If I am... sitting in a theater in November of 1989, I think I'm going to walk away and not be 100% sure that I will go see Back to the Future Part 3 in a couple of months when it comes out.
Yeah. That's valid.
Yeah. That's huge.
It's a stream for me as well, simply because it requires so much legwork to get to the part where I enjoy it. Like I have to do a lot of the walking myself.
I mean, even pacing-wise, it takes like 40 minutes for Biff to steal the DeLorean and go back to actually... I feel like that's the story you wanted to tell and had to go to 2015 because we're stuck at the end of the first movie.
Yeah, because they have to spiral, like circle back and deal with the way that it ended without a sequel in mind.
Yeah. There's no way people weren't going to be clamoring after the first movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
To see them in the future like that.
Yeah.
So they had, I feel like they had to do it. It's not one of those things that was, it's kind of up in the air if you should do a sequel.
Yeah.
Or you look later, 5 years later, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it, but I don't think you needed to.
Right.
There definitely needed to be a Back to the Future Part 2.
Yeah. And I think that like the vision of the future is fun. I really do like this. Like I enjoy watching this movie. It's just not good, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Totally.
Man, it is a... This movie falls in that quality bullseye that is like the most impossible to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't want to overstate my like or dislike because I don't do either one especially strongly.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about a movie that you feel incredibly medium about.
Yeah. It's
like I can never describe to you the best piece of toast that I've ever had.
Texas toast, maybe.
Is Prince of Thieves closer to B movie than Back to the Future 2? Or is that a whole different breed? Because that's a bad movie.
It's a bad movie, but I think we have an anchor in Alan Rickman.
Well, we have an anchor in Christopher Lloyd.
I don't know that I feel that Christopher Lloyd is enough of an anchor for this, though.
And I don't think Chris Lloyd is laughing at the movie. I don't think his portrayal is fueled by
an act
hate.
Of rebellion.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what. They're certainly not B movies in terms of the way studios treated either of them.
Certainly not. This was expensive. Did you see all that CG in 1989?
Yeah. But yeah, they are quality-wise about B-movie level for both of them. Like final product B-movie. They thought they were shooting out an A, a triple A even. And they shot out a B.
I think the measuring tool for how bad of a movie this is has been right in front of me the whole time. Like I think I got it instantly why this wasn't a let's all watch it together.
Right.
Right?
Ooh.
If it's bad enough to all watch together, it's because I want to experience you laughing at this with me. Prince of Thieves, neither of you have seen it. And so I'm like, okay, this needs to be the first experience. And on the opposite end, Ocean's 11, Jordan's like, Doge, you should see this with me. Like we need to be here because I can almost guarantee something. Back to the Future 2. Part 2 is not a guarantee. I don't really know how you're going to feel about it. And I don't think it's going to be consistent.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited for 3.
I am too. I really, really am.
3 is wacky.
I've heard 3 is some people's favorite.
It's definitely not my favorite, but I do really like it.
Okay.
I'm excited for you to watch it, Carter.
Although it's been a long time since I've watched it, so I'm afraid that I'm going to come back and be like, I didn't actually really like it. But I remember
like horribly. Really. It's incredibly problematic.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about. But in my memory, I really like 3 way more than 2. So we'll see.
Well, listeners, I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you for donating your minutes to us and spending them here with us in this podcast space. As always, we feel completely undeserving and yet so very grateful that you've chosen to support us over on Patreon. It really, really means the world to us. And now, like we always do, to end our episodes, I want you to say your name and, you know, that's how it is. That's how it is. Is that this is only like my 15th time to end an episode and it takes me a little bit to think of them.
Jordan's got the most episode ends, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Sort of like, oh man, some people just aren't built for it.
Why don't you suggest some? Suggest some. Give me options and I'll pick.
You never do that for me. That doesn't feel fair.
You don't ask me to.
I don't need to.
Dang, dude. Dang.
That's so biff of me, dude.
Boy Wonder's on the track once more.
So biff of me, dude. I can't stop. Griff,
I want you to tell me your name and your favorite invention from 2015 that we all definitely remember that's changed our lives into a Jetson-esque utopia.
They need to make a Back to the Future wine, and the whole thing is you can really taste the biff tannins. You guys there?
It's never been quieter.
Oh man. I'm Doge, and my favorite thing from 2015 that I definitely remember and has changed my life is the Mr. Fusion wine bar that I have in my house, serving exclusively Back to the Future branded wines where you can really taste the biff tannins.
Yeah.
I'm Carter, and my favorite invention, guys, I looked up, like Time Magazine has the best inventions of 2015, and the first one they mentioned
is
the hoverboard scooter. The hoverboard scooter was invented in 2015.
Was it really?
Yes. So maybe old part two was calling some
shots.
Maybe
this is a true story.
There's also a sensor that sniffs gluten, which sounds like a horror story script, but
I can smell your gluten.
I can smell your gluten. I can smell it after the body's processed it, if you know what I mean.
There's a cat outside my window.
Power pasta is a 2015 invention.
What is power pasta?
I mean, people, it's full of good things, you know?
Wow.
Scott, chickpeas and vegetables and vitamins and whey protein powder and a
Red
Bull.
So that's your favorite invention?
No, I think my favorite invention of 2015.
Who are you?
Jordan. And I think my favorite invention of 2015 is probably the Michael Jackson waiter face computer screen that hovers and gives me Pepsi.
Those are incredibly cursed.
I don't like them.
Really scary.
Those are horrifying.
I was really scared.
Carter,
it was
you look
total
like you're
recall.
Giving an anonymous interview about a crime that happened to you right now.
And one of the scariest things that happened was...
One of the scariest things that happened...
Oh, that's good.
Was the Michael Jackson face. The Michael Jackson.
No, now I just sound like... someone from SpongeBob or something.
Well, Michael Jackson, please. When I got to the restaurant and they took my order, I was frightened.
That's really good. It's Saw.
Mm. Ooh.
Let's watch Back to the Future Part 2.
Yeah, I dig it.
It looks like you're brushing your teeth at a friend's house when you forgot to bring your toothbrush.
Of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.